Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janamala Bhagiri Varadari Gopi Janamala Bhagiri Varadari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada Kinja Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhupada A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kinja Hiskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kinja BBT Founder Srila Prabhupada Kinja Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kinja Premsikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Wait to get out her Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maya Ki Jai Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Their most beautiful lordship, Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Agiriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gorni Thai Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai, Brihad Mridanga Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhana Swami Te Namini Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Te Namini Namaste Srimati Pashchati Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for coming and being part of Srimad Bhagavatam class. Before I begin, I would first like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas that you see fit to empower and enable me to speak something from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially now reading from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. which is most exalted scripture, completely disqualified to speak anything from this this holy scripture, but by the mercy of Vaishnavas, anything is possible, so therefore I seek and beg your blessings. Hare Krishna. So, today we'll be continuing our reading from the 29th chapter, Krishna and the Gopis Meet. And we'll be reading texts 33 and 34. 34 we'll repeat responsively, as it's on the board. The other verse I'll read. Before we begin, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tenth Canto, Chapter 29, Text 33 through 34. Text 33. Kurvanti hi twairatim kushalas. Sorry. Kurvanti hi twairatim kushala swamatma nitya priye pati sutta birati dahikem tanna prasida parameshwara masma chindya asamdritam twai chirad aravinda netra. Translation. Expert transcendentalists always direct their affection toward you because they recognize you as their true self and eternal beloved. What use do we have for these husbands, children, and relatives of ours who simply give us trouble? Therefore, O Supreme Controller, grant us your mercy. O lotus-eyed one, please do not cut down our long cherished hope to have your association. Text 34, please repeat. Chittam sukena bhavata paritam griheshu. Yan nirvishat yuta kara vapi griya kritye. Padau padam na chalatas tava padamulad. Yama katam rajamato karavama kimba. Chittam sukena bhavata paritam griheshu. Yan nirvishat yutakara vapi griya krit. Padau padam na chalatas tava padamulad. Yama katam rajamato karavama kimba. Chittam sukena bhavata paritam griheshu. Chittam sukena bhavata paritam griheshu. yan nirvishat yutakara vapigriya kritye. Padau padam na chalatas tava paramulan. Yama katam rajamato karavama kimba. Ladies, please. Word for word. Chitam, our minds. Sukena, easily. Bhavata, by you. Aparitam, were stolen. Griheshu, in our households. Yat, which. Nirvishati, were absorbed. Uta, moreover. Karau, our hands. Api, as well. Kriyakritye, in household work. Padau, our feet. Padam, one step. Na chalataha, are not moving. Tava, your. Padamulat, away from the feet. Yamaha, we shall go. Katam, how. Brajam, back to Braj. Atau, and then. Karabama, we shall do. Kim, what? Ba, furthermore. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Until today, our minds were absorbed in household affairs. But you easily stole both our minds and our hands away from your housework. Away from our housework. Now our feet won't move one step from your lotus feet. How can we go back to Braj? What would we do there? Please repeat. Until today, our minds were absorbed in household affairs. But you easily stole both our minds and our hands away from our housework. Now our feet won't move one step from your lotus feet. How can we go back to Braj? What would we do there? Purport. Shri Krishna had blown into his flute, and the intoxicating music that had come out of its holes had stolen the minds of the young gopi girls. Now they had come to see Krishna to demand back their stolen property. But they could regain their minds only if Shri Krishna accepted them and engaged with them in conjugal affairs. Shri Krishna might have replied, "But my dear gopis, just go home for now. Let me consider the situation for a day or two, and then I will give you back your minds." In reply to this possible arguments, the gopis state, "Our feet refuse to move even one step. So please give us back our minds and accept us, and then we will go." Om Agana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Chitam Sukena Bhavata Paritam Griheshu Yanir Vashadyuta Karav Apigriya Kritye Padaupadam na chalatas tava paramulad yamakatam brajam ato karavama kimva. Until today, our minds were absorbed in household affairs, but you easily stole both our minds and our hands away from our housework. Now our feet won't move one step from your lotus feet. How can we go back to Braj? What would we do there? Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Nandanishwar Giri Govardhan Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Kadasi Rata Ki Jai. So the gopis' minds have been stolen away from their quote-unquote mundane activities, and they have been attracted by the intoxicating sounds emanating from the holes of Krishna's divine flute. This nectarian sound has attracted the gopis to abandon all varieties of religious activities and to go into the forest against the basic principles of, I guess what you could say, etiquette or religiosity, to try and find that association of Krishna which will satisfy them completely. But once they arrive in Krishna's association, having surrendered so much, in fact, one might even say surrendered everything, not just material, but their own reputation and status, and they're present before Krishna, submitting themselves to him, Krishna begins to taunt them. So they give up everything and they approach Krishna, they approach God, and he begins to taunt them. Everyone understands this term, taunt. Can someone explain it to me? Because I'm not sure if I understand. Please, oh most knowledgeable one. Taunt? Ridicule? Tease, I think, would probably be a good word. Krishna begins to tease them and to, in a sense, yeah, ridicule them also, because he explains that actually for a chaste woman to leave your husband is completely inappropriate, so you should just go back. What is Krishna doing with the gopis? They've surrendered everything and they've come before him and they're submitting themselves, the highest platform of surrender, and Krishna is not accepting them. He's telling them to go away. I mean, this is pretty intense, right? You come before the Lord and you surrender yourself, and then he says, go away. I mean, this isn't the nature of what we would understand as the Supreme Lord. Seems to fit more the description of a bit of a sadistic Lord. Everyone understands this term, sadistic. One who relishes in the suffering of someone else. One who likes to see someone else suffer. Because what are the gopis expressing here? That you've stolen our minds, you've taken us away from all of our activities, and you've brought us here, and now you're telling us to go away. This is like torture, complete torture. And who's torturing them? Is it Kamsa? Is it one of the furious villains of Krishna Leela? No, it's Krishna himself who appears to be torturing the gopis. But what is Krishna actually doing with the gopis? He's giving them their eternal choice and free will to choose. You've come right to the last stage, and here you are. And now as you look me in the eyes, I will tell you to go away. And what will you do? Will you go or will you stay? There's a famous song in there somewhere, but I won't sing it. Murli Prabhu started moving his head. So Krishna is saying, be here. No, you should go away. He's testing them up to the last stage of their surrender. Krishna is testing. Why? Why would Krishna be like this? Is this what you would expect? Right? You come to Krishna, you give everything, And then Krishna still continues to test. Has anyone had that experience, that trying to surrender a little bit and a few enthusiastic hands flew up? Yeah. Now, what happens, what is happening to the gopis? Of course, the gopis we cannot compare exactly, because the gopis are on a completely different platform, possibly, probably, likely, than most of us or any of us are at this stage. But still, a similarity can be drawn how we approach Krishna. And it seems that, as one devotee once said to me, that we offer something, you know, we're offering with the right hand, but with the left hand we're keeping something behind the back. Just a little something maybe for later. What's that saying in English? A little bit for Ron, right? A little bit for later on. You know, so here Krishna, and Krishna's accepting, but Krishna becomes a little bit more concerned about what we're holding back. So he's kind of looking over the shoulder, trying to see what it is. What is it that you're actually holding on to? What is that last thing, that little snare that's actually going to keep you away from me? And then in our activities, we see Krishna teasing it out of us, taunting it out, confronting us with challenges and obstacles that we think, where does this come from? How is this manifested? Why is this? What is this doing here? How does this work? And Krishna is there, and he's just taunting out of us that which we're trying to hold on to. So he's testing the gopis here and trying to get them to renounce fully and finally any attachment to this mundane housework or family or friends. You know, there's so many things that could be said about that, but just Krishna's trying to get them, and in this episode, they're giving up the mundane and they're taking full shelter of the spiritual energy of Krishna, and Krishna is taunting them. The danger here, I guess, is that as we take shelter sometimes of the Supreme Lord, and we get tested and challenged, then there's always the possibility of being re-allured by the mundane. Anyone has had that experience? That you come so close, and then the next thing you know, you're caught up in some mundane activities that you think, why am I more attracted to this mundanity than to Krishna? Isn't it? I mean, it's a fact. In fact, we were discussing the other day how Srila Prabhupada, at least my understanding is, in his last visit or in a visit to London, he was offering prostrated obeisances before their lordships and praying intensely. And after these prayers, all the devotees, they were wondering, God, what was Prabhupada praying? Because he was praying so intensely. And then my understanding is, in the car as they were leaving, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked quite courageously, as he would do, Prabhupada, what is it that you were actually praying? We all want to know. And Prabhupada said, I was praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. And all the devotees were like, Prabhupada, how can you fall down? You're a pure devotee. You're sent here to deliver the entire world. How could you possibly fall down? And he said, because I keep praying like this. What does that mean? It means that he keeps submitting himself to the shelter of Krishna. He doesn't begin to think himself invincible. He doesn't begin to think that I am actually, you know, the chosen one, the Senapati Bhakta. I'm sent here to deliver the whole world, and, you know, I don't need to submit myself at the lotus feet of the Lord. He remains Trinadapi, Sunichenata, Orapisa, Hishuna, Amani, Namani Dena, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street and recognizing that at any moment anyone can be allured. In the ninth canto, was it Subhara Muni, you know, meditating under the ocean for a thousand years? I mean, if anyone could keep their head underwater for like 30 seconds or a minute, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Here you have this great sadhu meditating under the water for so many thousands of years. He simply sees two fish have a little, you know, little kiss. And his mind becomes so completely disturbed that he has to give up his meditation and come out of the water. And I forget how many wives he wound up accepting, like 100 or 500, some, you know, this is the power of the illusory energy, that at any moment it can drag one of the senses in a direction away from Krishna. So the gopis fully surrender to Krishna, and then, as we'll see as this pastime unfolds, that they pass the test and they get Krishna's association in a very divine and amazing way. And then, while having that association, mundaneness creeps in again. Of course, we can understand on the level of the gopis that this is all pastime, but we can understand that often when we get what we want, something comes along with it. Anyone knows what that is? Pride. And what's the famous saying? Yes. Pride goeth, cometh before a fall. So what happens to the gopis? They're all dancing, and Srila Prabhupada explains that they begin to enjoy Krishna's personal company. They begin to enjoy it in a sense that they're enjoying it for themselves only. And the Anyabila Shita Shunyam Gyana Karmajanavratam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam, that for Krishna's pleasure, it becomes more for my pleasure. Oh, now I'm enjoying. And that propensity to then enjoy Krishna's opulences is it's a trap, it's a pitfall. Forgetting who is the origin of the opulence, forgetting who is the controller of the opulence. So the gopis become proud, and then what happens? Krishna leaves. He departs. I mentioned several times that once that a devotee used to explain very nicely to me that how much Krishna loves his devotees and how the devotees of Krishna are so dear to him. And that if we become proud and puffed up and arrogant in the association of devotees and we act in an incorrect way, and this was being said to me specifically to correct me for my countless, numerous offenses against Vaishnavas. This devotee said that Krishna will come into the association of devotees and he will pick you up and he will drop you outside of the association of devotees. And he says it's the most amazing thing because you won't know he did it and you'll think that you just left. And he said, and you'll leave criticizing everyone else, thinking, anyway, they're like this, they're like that, and da-da-da-da-da, off I go into the wild blue yonder, thinking you're right about it. He said, but actually what's happened is Krishna has just picked you up and removed you. But you're like, anyway, because you can't see. Because when the mundane, illusory energy comes over us, We don't see like that. In fact, usually what's happening, because of pride, we become blinded, constantly thinking that we're right. And this drug of being right is so powerful. Who here likes to be right? Who likes to be wrong? Who likes to make mistakes? Who likes to get caught out making mistakes and be corrected? Nobody. But everyone likes to be right, isn't it? It's such a drug. And where is it coming from? It's false ego. It's a protection mechanism that keeps the false ego safe, that I'm right. And in the name of being right, we do so many obnoxious or crazy things. But what do we win by being right? Do we win something? What do we win? Or do we lose? Ultimately, we lose with this whole propensity to be right about different things, our judgments. And what gives us the right to be right about anything anyway? What gives us the right to criticize someone else without first, you know, turning that powerful microscope or analytical mirror upon ourselves and see, how perfect am I? Just how perfect am I to be the one who judges? And I was thinking, sometimes we see on a global level, you know, devotees openly criticizing one another, you know, creating kind of turmoil in the name of being right about something. You know, the propensity to be right so strong that, you know, we'll just blow it all out of proportion in order to try to make something right. But what does it do? It actually undermines completely the shelter that's being offered. And it doesn't really set much of an example of how others are meant to act. Recently, I don't go on it very often myself, but another devotee that I know went on Facebook. And it's just a minefield of, you know, craziness. How one person who has an opinion about something, or in this instance, an opinion about, if everyone can move forward just a little bit, has an opinion about a statement that a very senior Vaishnava had made. So this person decides that it's okay to put my statement there and just, you know, anyway, what so-and-so Swami Maharaj said is a load of old rubbish, and this is what I got to say. And I was thinking, well, that's really intelligent. That's really Vaishnava conduct. And then what followed was this thread of about 30 to 40 comments where everyone just jumped in on the bandwagon. And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. I can't even, and some of the people that were making comments, I couldn't believe my eyes. You know, I thought, maybe I should just like go jump in the Ganga, give up my life now. It's like, I don't believe what's happening here. And it just seems like whatever, any old opinion someone has is okay to just fling out there in the public eye and allow everyone to look at and you know, and I was thinking, this is, it's really not so nice, you know. And I was encouraging a group of devotees I was with the other night, and just to say the same here, that because probably many of us are on Facebook and all these things, but you know, if we engage in this kind of activity, it doesn't benefit our movement. It doesn't benefit the association of devotees. It absolutely does not benefit us one bit. So you got an opinion. Great. You know what they say about opinions? Everybody's got one. Great, no problem. So keep it to yourself. Live by it if that's your ethos, you know, but it's not that you have to go out and espouse it in such a way that it causes everyone else to bring the worst out of them. What's that saying? If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. No big deal. The art would be to figure out a nice way to say it. The art would be to put things in a positive reference. But that's a little difficult, you know, because it's easier to cut someone else down to size because maybe of our own insecurities. You know, and then we find maybe one or two people who can agree with us, and we begin to chop and change and share examples and pastimes of, you know, this other person who's usually not present in the room, or hopefully not within earshot. And then we chop them down to size. For what? What does it accomplish? So that I feel right. So that I feel good. You know, this is just, it's, you know, we think I'm making things right so that I can go back to Godhead. But actually, the likely thing that we're doing is paving the way to hell. I remember one senior devotee made a comment. Someone was saying that, he said, how is it that it seems that sometimes we can chant, go on chanting, and yet someone could still be so offensive even while they're chanting, but they're chanting, but yet externally they're also offensive and causing so many aparads and different things. And one senior devotee said, because it's also explained that the holy name will allow you to continue chanting and committing offenses against it in order to speed up your progress to a hellish condition. Pretty intense, huh? You know, what are we getting? What are we winning by acting like this? What are we winning? What are we creating in the society? You know, what is that statement, you know, bad apple ruins the whole barrel. It's okay if you want cider, but we don't drink cider. You know? So, in this situation, the gopis, they become proud and Krishna leaves them, and they're, fortunately, what do the gopis do? They all start talking about Krishna and conversing about Krishna. Of course, they also become a little critical sometimes of Krishna. But this is rasa. This is a different relationship altogether, because they're just increasing the, as I think Marge used the term yesterday, the spice of the relationship. They're spicing it up, you know. So they're playing, you know, Vipralamba Sambhog, Vipralamba Sambhog, you know, so there's association, separation. But, you know, for us, unless we're really on that platform, we have to be very careful about the propensity to criticize others, because that comes from pride, basically. I wanted to read one letter quickly from Srila Prabhupada that I found the other day that I think is very nice. Some statements Prabhupada makes, and we see that the difficulties are there even in Prabhupada's time. So this letter is to Kirtananda Maharaj. I won't read the introduction just for time's sake, but Prabhupada says, now this displeasing of God brothers has already begun and gives me too much agitation in my mind. Our Gaudiya Math people fought with one another after the demise of Guru Maharaj, but my disciples have already begun fighting even in my presence. So I am greatly concerned about it. Following in the footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sunichena, Doorapi Sihishnuna, Amani Namani Dena, Kirtaniya Siddha Hari, We must always remember this verse and be as tolerant as the tree as we execute the Krishna consciousness movement. Without this mentality, we cannot be successful. Material nature means dissension and disagreement, especially in Kali Yuga. But for this Krishna consciousness movement, its success will depend on agreement, even though there are varieties of engagements. In the material world, there are varieties, but there is no agreement. In the spiritual world, there are varieties, but there is agreement. That is the difference. The materialist, without being able to adjust all of the varieties and the disagreements, makes everything zero. Nothing. They cannot come into agreement with varieties, but if we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity. I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity. That will make our movement successful. One section of men have already gone out. Therefore, we must be very careful to maintain unity in diversity and remember the story in Aesop's Fables of the father of many children with the bundle of sticks. When the father asked the children to break the bundle of sticks wrapped in a bag, none of them could do it. But when they removed the sticks from the bag and tried one by one, the sticks were easily broken. So this is the strength of unity. If we are bunched up, we can never be broken. But when divided, then we can become broken very easily. I hope this meets you in good health. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anyway, just wanted to share that. Every now and again, some drops of nectar come your way, and you think, what an idiot I am, what a fool I've been. Can I please, Krishna, finally learn how to act properly in the association of devotees so that I don't remove myself? Anyone has any comments or questions? Yes, Anthony Gosai.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for this class. It was really amazing. So my question is just kind of going on from your last point there about trying to guard against any offences, known or unknown, in the association of Vaishnavas, in order so you don't become removed from their association. And you mentioned that having false pride leads to this sort of arrogance, thinking that you're always right. And then, so I was just wondering, could you advise just a few practical points just on how to actually give this drug up, as you mentioned it, this false pride?
Find a very close friend who can tell you and whom you can hear from. because my understanding why most people go away is because they stop being able to hear. Because the false ego is like a balloon. And it just seems to somehow create a membrane right over these two holes in the body. And when the false ego is... these things just don't work anymore. And the only voice that can be heard is this, or this, that's going on in here. And all every now and again, something might get through. But it's only usually what we want to hear. Like my mother always told me that you have selective hearing. So find a good friend with a good pen who can the balloon mind state and just deflate. And that's usually, like Prabhupada said in a couple of times, that, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, it was Haridas Thakur we were discussing. Haridas Thakur, he said to all the prisoners, he said, stay as you are. And they were like, what are you talking about, man? We're in prison. And he's like, no, because you're hungry, because you're eager. You know, sometimes when we get humiliated or deflated, we're like, oh my God, this is, you know, what a fool I've been. And that's probably when we're the closest to Krishna. Because we're actually Trinadapi Sunichena. But it doesn't take long for a patch, you know, like when you get a puncture in your bike tire, right? You patch it up and start pumping it up again. Anyone else? Yes, Mother.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the heart operation.
I'm operating on my own heart.
Prabhupada mentions the way we show our love towards him is the way we cooperate with each other. And everybody is in different positions in their spiritual consciousness. Say we're doing a service together, and there are two ways of doing, or maybe more than one way of doing something. And in one sense, there is no right and wrong, because the service ultimately can be done anyway. And when there's a difference of opinion, what's the mood that we should carry within ourselves? Do we express that, or do we step back and allow them? What's the mood that we take when there is a conflict of interest?
Our protection is to follow Vaishnava etiquette. And if there's a senior person present, then one should default to that person. So if you're doing a service and, you know, you're trying to cook the Sunday feast and there's someone there who knows how to cook and you don't necessarily know how to cook, and you're thinking, should I put two handfuls of chili or just one? Then it's okay to say, excuse me, Prabhu or Mataji, you know, what should I do here? And take guidance and advice. But if it's two peer-level devotees and you're not sure, then, you know, try to, you know, make a collaborate decision. You know, we should always work for cooperation as opposed to dissension. You know, sometimes people say, oh, anyway, I'm tolerating, but then they go away. And I don't really think that qualifies as tolerance. I think it's more means you're running away from the situation. Usually it's because we want to control the situation and we can't, so then we go away. But let's try to find a space in between and work together to complement one another. Usually it means one has some weakness, one has some strength. All of us have weaknesses. Absolutely. And we were discussing the other day with, you know, someone please find me the perfect person. I mean, apart from Krishna. But in this world, where is that person who has all the opulences? Even if you got a good job, a good, you know, money, house, car, wife, husband, whatever it is, but there's always going to be something. Then you got a cold, then you got cancer, then your kid's a drug addict, then your you know, wife's this, your husband, you know, it's, there's no perfection. This world is perfectly imperfect. And if you think you're going to change it, your life is damned to just disappointment after disappointment. Because it isn't going to change. That's why it's here. It's a stinking prison. And we are basically criminals. But we are being given the opportunity to get out. Now, trying to achieve perfection in the service of Krishna, that's the perfection of trying to achieve perfection. So we're trying to do that, getting into the details. But if in the name of achieving perfection for Krishna, Vaishnavas are falling out or blaspheming or criticizing one another, I don't know if that's actually pleasing to Krishna. So no matter how wonderful the service is that you do, but if you're critical of the devotees and, you know, you can't work together, then that would just be forgotten. And it may have been like a day of wonderful service and then a lifetime of separation from the devotees. Right? You know, yeah, it's like this haunting instruction that my spiritual master gave me at our first meeting, where he said, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And it's like, it's got so many connotations, yeah, so many levels. And, you know, we can, like, I was discussing with some devotees the other day, they're like, oh, we want to build a center here, we want to do so many things. And I was saying, but all of you are friends, and if in the process of trying to do something wonderful, you lose that friendship, what's the point? What's the point? Because who will be attracted, right? Like we said, in the books, it talks about a society of devotees who come together to serve one another. You know, Prabhupada's again and again, unity and diversity, unity and diversity. But if we can't, if we're not working together to create that mood, then people won't be attracted anyway. And like that internet thing, I always wonder how many people who are new, who might be interested in coming to Krishna, look on the internet and watch how devotees openly criticize each other. And, I mean, I would just be like, huh? I mean, when I first came, it was like there was a cold war between ISKCON Soho and Bhaktivedanta Manor. It was like this weird thing. And I remember thinking, what is going on here? You know? It's like devotees, they talk to each other. This one. It doesn't create a nice atmosphere. So, you know, and what's wrong with just being humble, putting your head on the floor and saying, Hare Krishna, let's just do what's best for Krishna, even if it isn't my way. I mean, who hears Frank Sinatra anyhow? Right? Why do you need to do it your way? We're meant to do it the way that Krishna wants it. Right? Yes, Prabhu.
Do you think, I mean, I've only just started getting interested and I was sort of drawn to, I started going to the manor first and then mm-hmm. here because I'm working up in London now. So I wouldn't call myself an expert, but, you know, kind of reading into the things. Do you think that some of that kind of like those differences are because there isn't a clear hierarchy? Mm. Because that's the one thing that I feel, you know, when I look at, okay, when Prabhupada was alive, there was someone, a clear leader. When you look at other religions, there is someone kind of in charge and there's a hierarchy. When I try to investigate, you know, who is the top guy, you know, within ISKCON, etc., and how it works down, it seems like there's, you know, a board of people, but actually beneath that, it's very unclear to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe I haven't really found the answer yet, but it seems that there's no one clear lead, and maybe that's why you get those mm-hmm. different opinions and that kind of disconnection.
Yeah, very good point. What's your name?
Soph. Soph.
Spell that for me.
S-O-F.
Okay, sof. Yeah, in one sense, that's there. Usually there is a sort of clear hierarchy, at least in terms of, well, I mean, managerially, spiritually, there is hierarchy. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's presence on the planet made a big difference, but you can even see from the letter that I read that even while he was here, so a hierarchy is there as a system that we're meant to take shelter of. But the false ego, you know, usually means that I want to create my own hierarchy, and I want to be the boss, and I don't want to listen. I mean, it's not just in ISKCON, and even in any other religious organization that you go to, there are factions and disagreements. And you know, I went to one, just visited one center, and within 10 minutes, I had two representatives from apparent opposing views. This is a different organization altogether, arguing in front of me in the middle of this holy place. No, that's not right. That's not right. And I was thinking, I don't think I'm very inspired by this. So when you guys figure it out, can you come let me know? I'm going to be outside. So, you know, I don't think it's just here. I think it's the propensity within the living entity to want to be God and to not want to accept any authority other than my own authority, unless that authority proves to agree with whatever it is that I think. And if that authority in the future begins to disagree with what I think, then I will also go somewhere else then. You understand? It's so there's definitely a propensity within all of us to do that, which is why we work a job, and if the boss gets on our case, da-da-da-da, then we go somewhere else. And you know, if a friend, or in the modern day, you get married, and if you realize after getting married your wife doesn't, or your husband doesn't do exactly what you want, then you go somewhere else. You know, there's no, you know, the taking shelter and giving your word and giving a vow and following in a certain way, that's, a lot of that is lost in the modern day, because, you know, a lot of things, like Prabhupada said, the materialist view makes everything zero, which means it makes everyone equal. But that's not the Vedic perspective. That's not, there are people who are senior, and there are people who are junior, and there are people who are on equal level. And ultimately, we should offer respect to all of them, understanding our post and position. And there is a hierarchy. It's just whether or not we have the humility to accept it. So,
I just think the very nature of this movement is about having sort of spiritual masters and people that you know. And I think if they all have, so in a sense, they are part of that hierarchy because they're seen as a more senior person mm-hmm. within the movement. But then within those, if there's a different idea about how to do certain things or yeah. a different thing, then automatically by following one or the other, you're already
different split, from another.
Split, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that possibility is definitely there. The thing is, as I said, even while Srila Prabhupada was here, there were splits. So the nature is there within the living entity. And ultimately, what ISKCON is about, and one wonderful devotee summarized last night, it's about, he said, he boiled it down as far as he could, and this was his realization, that it's about becoming selfless and bringing other people into the service of Krishna. That's what we're here for. So we have to become selfless instead of self-ish, and try to just bring others to serve Krishna. And that's the mood of the gopis. They just want to engage others in Krishna. But if they give up that mood, then Krishna leaves. He goes away. So really, it's a process of working on ourselves. It's a very intense process of working on ourselves. and beginning to see through eyes that enable us to be equipoised no matter what the situation, and always be willing to admit or accept that maybe I'm not right in this situation. Maybe I need to take the humble position and be willing to do that. Maybe you don't, but at least be willing to say, maybe I do. Does that make sense? Thank you, Soph. Nice questions. Hare Krishna. I'll finish here, and my deep apologies for going over time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantaraj Srima Bhagavatam ki jai, Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Brinda ki jai, Gauda Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So for the pleasure of their lordships, we have some Sankirtan scores from yesterday. And Radha's Boutique, we distributed 9 books for 278 Lakshmi points. In Govinda's restaurant, we distributed prasadam to at least 234 customers for a total of 1,907 Lakshmi points. And on book distribution, 2 scores, starting with Bhakti and Louise, and collected 8 Lakshmi points, distributed 6 small, 1 medium for 2 book points. Bhakta Adam collected 56 Lakshmi points, distributed 10 small, 4 medium, 5 mahabig for 14.5 book points. Total 2 scores, 64 Lakshmi, 16 small, 5 medium, 5 mahabig for 16.5 book points. Srila Prabhupada's transcendental book distribution, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. So just offer our prayer to their lordships. Dear Shishi Radhalanda Nishwar, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shishi Gorni Thai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, as surrendered servants, humbly beg. Srila Prabhupada's transcendental book distribution, ki jai. So we just need volunteers to serve prasadam on ladies' side and men's side, and volunteers to help clean up the temple room after breakfast prasadam. Wonderful. Okay, if everyone could please help with the prasadam chain. Many hands makes light work. Hare Krishna.
Prasadam chain.